now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
Don't settle for less. In these days of fires and wrecks, of accidents and liabilities of every kind, insurance companies use men of diplomacy to try and get a settlement out of the injured. Often one, not thinking his injury to be permanent, is tempted by the attractive offer to sign. But were he to confer with an experienced doctor, he would hear these words, "Don't settle for less." This is my subject, don't settle for less. Never was there one so skilled in diplomacy as the old devil. He's trying to get you, my neighbor, to settle for less. Less than God's standard, less than what you must have in eternity, less than what it takes to go to heaven. Now, if you do settle for less, then you will hear God's verdict, "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." Consider also how we live in an age of education and manufacturing. If our manufacturing stopped with material things, it would be fine, but it does not. Our colleges think they can manufacture doctors. They may educate them, but doctors are not manufactured. A real doctor has an endowment from God that fits him for that honored work. Without this, he may get a degree and go to writing prescriptions, but the public groans under such would-be doctors. And they even attempt to manufacture preachers and missionaries, too. The seminaries roll them off their endless belt like tin cans and label them reverend and dress them in the clerical gowns. Manufactured preachers may fill the pulpit, but they have no message from God. A real preacher is a man sent from God with God's message. At the feet of Jesus, he has learned of God. His Lord has gifted him to preach and commissioned him as his servant. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he fears not the face of man, nor does he seek to please men. The manufactured clergyman can put it over and please men, but the God-sent preacher is like Paul, who said, "If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." But the greatest tragedy is this. Our religious organizations attempt to manufacture Christians. The cotton mill takes in bales of cotton and turns out its thousands of bedspreads. So they set up their machinery in their church plants and gather in the populace by popular attractions and run them through their religious mill and label them Christians. This we can challenge. And declare that no church with all its religious machinery, its altars and fonts, its rolls and rituals, and all its highly organized and high-speed methods has ever been able to manufacture one real Christian. A true Christian is one born of God and not manufactured by religious machinery. Neighbor, are you a born-again Christian or just a manufactured counterfeit? The hen rolls into the nest an egg, and the next day another one. We say to the manufacturer, "Can you make an egg?" He asserts that he can make the exact duplicate of the hen's egg. But when asked if it will hatch out a chick, he's stumped. His counterfeit egg lacks the vital thing, life. Only God can give life. And so with religious factories making Christians, they never made a real one yet, and they never will, for life must come from God. They can make additions and members, but life in Christ Jesus no church can give, and without it people are as dead as electric poles, dead in trespasses and in sins as the Bible calls them. Neighbor, if you are content with being only a church member, then the devil has allured you to settle for less. And you haven't got what it takes. The divine prerogative to give life, eternal life, is with God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. When man tries to duplicate this, he only produces the religious hypocrites we have with us today. Our youth see all this and turn into godless infidels with no fear of God nor desire for salvation. This does not mean that every church member is a counterfeit, but that only those who have had this vital experience with God are real Christians.
We thank God for those who have Sunday schools to teach the young God's Word, and for all who preach Christ Jesus the Lord, whether on street corner or in pulpit. But let us all remember that salvation is of the Lord. We are to work with the Holy Spirit and not instead of Him. He gives life, and we cannot. Now let's go back to the beginning of the church in Acts 15 and see God's standard, and we dare not settle for less. We read, God who knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost even as he did unto us. Only God can give the Holy Spirit, and without the Spirit of God in your heart and life, you're not a real Christian. You're only a counterfeit. For the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. To be a part of the church of God in the days of the apostles required one certain experience, for only such did the Lord add to his church and did the Holy Spirit immerse into that one body of the church. What was that required experience? It was not their being baptized, but it was that they had been born of and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. On that occasion, there was a dispute whether the Gentiles could have part in the church. When Peter told how God had given them the Holy Spirit, that settled it. Those Gentiles manifested that the Holy Spirit was in their hearts and lives. They had what it took. Neighbor, what it took then, it still takes. Don't settle for less. You must have the Holy Spirit in your heart. That's why Paul asked those men at Ephesus, have ye received the Holy Ghost? And the scripture says, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. This is the mark of a real child of God. The word also says, in whom having believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Real believers have this seal from God. To claim salvation as a believer when you have not the seal of a real believer is worthless. If you now have a desire for this experience, I will help you. Our text says, God who knoweth the hearts. He looked into your heart and mine, and what did he find? Listen, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. With such treacherous and wicked hearts, we all need a change of heart, a new nature with holy desires. You may dress up a pig, groom its hair, feed it with a bottle, and put it in a bed to sleep, but you haven't changed its nature. It's a pig still. If you turned it loose, it would run to the mud hole and wallow in it. Its nature is unchanged. In our chapter, we read these words, purifying their hearts by faith. This great change has instantly happened to millions of people, a change of heart, so they hate what they once loved and love what they once hated, no longer living for sin and self, but earnestly seeking to please God. Now let us see this in slow motion, so we can consider each step. First, God sees in your heart your love for that which is sinful and ungodly. God keeps looking, returning again and again. What is he searching for? It is that real heart repentance, a contrite heart. You cannot purify your heart, but you can repent, confessing your sin and shame, and seeking God's mercy and deliverance. God will be the first to see a broken and a contrite heart, a tear of shame, a cry of despair. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Again, he looks into your heart. Now he looks for faith. God demands faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe, the scripture says. Because of this, the devil seeks to destroy all faith, yea, to take it from the earth. No wonder our Lord Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Devilish forces would try to annihilate faith. Communism denounces faith and stimulates suspicion and hatred. Our colleges try to strip our use of faith in God and the Bible, while religious factories turn out their hypocrites, all of which leaves men with no faith. But God still looks in your heart. It must accompany your repentance, real hard faith, faith that rests in entire confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ as your only Lord and Savior. It takes repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. God will not settle for less. Only then will he purify your heart by faith, giving into your heart the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a change he will make in your heart, shedding abroad the love of God where once sinful selfishness dwelt. His presence you will know and feel, and you'll show it too. When the apostles saw the evidence of the Holy Spirit in one, even if he were a Gentile, they counted him a real part of the church of God. They would not settle for less, so don't you. Be sure you have the Holy Spirit in your heart and manifest it in your life. Some preachers say the only way we can know we're saved is by the Bible. But the Bible itself says, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. We know we are real children of God by the witness of the Spirit in our hearts. To quote a Bible verse and to claim to be saved while you do not have the witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart is self-deception. Our verse says, God bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit. Has God borne you witness? Has he given you the Holy Spirit? Neighbor, don't settle for less, I beseech you. The foolish virgins did, like many do today, and they will be shut out when Jesus comes, for they had no oil. They had a lamp, the Bible, and could quote a verse and claim salvation, but they had no oil, the Holy Spirit. They were Christians manufactured by the religious world and not born again Christians. When Jesus comes, he will say to all such, because they have not the Holy Spirit, I never knew you. They were not his people, though they claimed to be, for this is the test. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Neighbor, be sure that God has seen in your heart real Bible repentance and heart faith in Christ, and be sure that he has sealed you, given you the witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart. I beseech you, don't settle for less. And then be concerned each day that you manifest before men that new life in Christ. Let it not be hid under the bed of ease or shrouded by the bushel of business, but let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Don't settle for less, either before God or men. Amen. In my 60 years in the ministry of the gospel, I have seen sinners of every description. There was the religious hypocrites, who are cursed by God and disgusting to men with all their loud-mouthed professions, while their neighbors and relatives know them as only two-faced hypocrites. But I have found some, no, many, who sincerely profess to be Christians. Since they have done all that was preached to them, they went up at the altar call, they joined the church of their choice, and were baptized and worked for the church. But God, seeing their sincerity, sent an evangelist to their town, and under his faithful preaching of the gospel, they learned that no one was saved by responding to an altar call, by joining a church, by being baptized, and by doing church work. And that road they were on would lead them to hellfire. They must, the same as every other lost sinner, repent of their sins before God. But after all they had done, that would be a big come down. But it was to repent of their sins or perish in their sins, as the Son of God said. And they must resign all they ever trusted in, their church, their religious works, and even their profession of being a Christian. And just as any other lost sinner, come to the Lord Jesus to save them, as from that day they would trust only in him as their Savior, and whom they now confess as their Lord. Oh, what a blow, what a challenge. It would sacrifice all their religious prestige and all their personal pride, too. Do you then wonder that I have seen them come to my gospel tent so troubled they could have cried and trembled? Only after days and nights of conflict, as the Holy Spirit convicted them of their sins and their lost condition, were they broken down at the feet of Jesus to confess him and him alone as their Lord and Savior. Their peace and joy made their face radiant, and they wanted to tell everyone. And over the world there are many of such sincere souls, yet deceived by their religion. My heart goes out to them, for they face a battle harder than the alcoholic, the thief, or the harlot. In my intense desire to reach more of such, I dedicate these two messages of the Holy Spirit to such sincere but deceived souls. Neighbor, in all these messages I
earnestly endeavor by the Holy Spirit to make God's salvation plain and practical. But if you are dull of understanding, or if your past religious training or ideas makes God's truth difficult for you to grasp, then do this. Get on your knees, alone with God, the living God, and tell him, "Oh God, thou knowest my heart and my sincerity. I'm awakened to realize I'm not right with thee. I'm moved to earnestly seek thee. Oh God, open my eyes. Enlighten my understanding to know and to get right with thee." That confession and that cry of distress will move my God to action. He will take you by the hand and lead you to that place called Calvary. And there he will reveal himself to you. He will say, "See that man on that middle cross in such agony? He is my beloved son. He is dying for your sins. They were so wicked I was about to cast you into hellfire for them. But he came to your rescue and offered himself to be your Savior, bearing your judgment and putting away your sin by the sacrifice of himself." Then God will lead you up to the third heaven and show you a throne where one sits in solitary glory. You're amazed. He's a man. You recognize him and cry, "He is Jesus, thy son, who died for my sins." You are right. God declares that Jesus Christ so perfectly finished that great work of salvation, he raised him from the dead and crowned him with glory and honor. At this point, the Holy Spirit takes over. He's right ready to make you a child of God, to give you the real heart peace with God, and then for he himself to dwell in you, transforming your heart and life. He waits for your decision, for your confession. It may be in words as few and as simple as these: "Oh God, I do confess myself to be that wicked sinner that caused Jesus to so suffer on that cross, and I do receive him, the living one, to be my Lord and my Savior from this hour and forever." Then the miracle will happen, and you will be one more to sing to our Lord Jesus Christ this hymn.